Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, we're discussing on the topic, understanding the gospel. A look on how the gospel was ministered in the scriptures. Looking at how the gospel was ministered in the scriptures. In this series. So our focus is how was the gospel ministered. In this series. Maybe let's not keep discussing on this. As a ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's keep looking at it. Glory to God. So, understanding the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Quickly. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 15 to 17. It says, "And from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So we're
going to
be a bit fast. Session 1, we're going to be about 2 and 3. Now, Paul calls the testimony calls Timothy's cleverness. Remember the word sophism. It implies cleverness. Now, Timothy's cleverness in understanding or focus Timothy clever in understanding what the scripture is all about, which is salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Hallelujah. So,
we also saw yesterday that when he says scriptures, what was in the background is what? The Old Testament. Meaning, salvation in Christ Jesus is what I would find as the central thing in the Old Testament. Salvation. Do you understand? I'll find salvation in the Old Testament. Do you understand? I'll find salvation in the Old Testament. So that means also that the words of the prophet will be about Christ and his work in the redemption. The words of the prophet. Jesus will say in Luke, open your Bible to Luke 24, verse 25. Luke 24:25, he says, "And he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet have spoken, of not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He explained through the scriptures. Verse 44, he said, And he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might understand, that they might comprehend or understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. So therefore, we saw that from the words of Christ, we can see that the words of the prophet was about Christ's work. Let's see what Peter said. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. It says, I'll start from verse 9. It says, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophet have inquired." "And search carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Peter will also say the prophet also spoke about Christ's work. You see that? When we read that into verse 12, you also see, spoke about Christ's work. Glory to God. About Christ's work. So it was in the mouth of the prophet. You understand? And Paul in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 3,
will now say those words in the mouth of the prophet that has salvation through faith is in Christ Jesus, saying they are inspired by God. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. In John chapter 5, verse 45, into 46, Jesus will say, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you. He said, Moses in whom you trust. He said, if have you believed Moses, you will have believed me, for he spoke concerning me. Understand me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the words of the prophet, what will tag the words of the prophet? Or what we call Peter will call it the prophetic scriptures, are words that have salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, what are we saying in essence? We say that in the Old Testament, the gospel is preached. That's what we're saying. The gospel is preached in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. He says, therefore, verse 1 into 2. He says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest anyone of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the words which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Did you see? So the gospel was preached to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The gospel was preached to them. In Hebrews chapter 1, in chapter 1, verse 1, in Hebrews 1:1, he says, God, who at various times, or who at sundry times, and God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophet, as in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, God, or at sundry times and in diverse manners, God spoke in time past to the Father by the prophet, as in this last day spoken to us in his Son, or as his Son. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's look at that word. That is the word sundry times. It's the word polymeros. Polymeros. It's from the Greek, it's from the compound word polos and meros. Polos, meros. Polos is the word that implies many or when you say something is many or plenty. Yes, plenty. Many. Now, the word meros is the word that means a share, a portion. It implies a portion, a section. You understand? A section, a share, a portion. So, what it means that at or there is a portion of truth. Do you understand me? A portion of truth in different places or in different or variously, you have prophets speaking a portion of the truth. Do you understand me? They had a portion of the truth. Do you understand me? They spoke a portion of the truth. Now, you don't say diverse manners is the word polo chokos. You see what polos is? There's another word polos. Chokos, sorry. It deals with a mold, a star, a wheel. You understand? It deals with a mold, a star. Now, we could say in different portions of truth, the prophet spoke in different styles, in different ways. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So we'll have different portions of truth. And those portions of truth were in progressional forms. Do you understand me? They were in progressional forms. You see a progression in the way the gospel was ministered.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that was how the prophet spoke. So meaning if I get to the scripture, I will see different portions of truth of what Christ's work would be in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to look at something. Now, in verse 2, he now said, but in these last days, spoken to us as his son, by his son, whom he had appointed heir of all these things. Meaning, what you will find the prophet speaking portions of truth will be the son, or will be concerning Christ. Do you understand that? Will be concerning Christ. Glory to God. You'll find it will be concerning Christ. Now Christ is because it's whom he has appointed heir of all the words of the prophet, meaning he inherited, let's use it like that for today, inherited the words of the prophet. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So the words of the prophet is what would be Christ's work. Hallelujah. So from from Romans chapter 1, verse 1 into 2. We saw this yesterday, that Paul, the born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before. Right? Which he promised before, pro epagilomai. In the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. So we see the same thing again. The words in the mouth of the prophet was concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Concerning Christ. And he used the word pro epagilomai, which is a pledge to do something. Hallelujah. A pledge to do something before. Meaning the gospel in the words of the in the mouth of the prophet in the Old Testament was a promise of what God would do. Do you understand me? Was a promise. Was a promise of what God would do. Glory to God. Of what God would do in Christ. He said concerning his son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, that is what Paul will now call in 1 Corinthians 5, 15, verse 3 to 4. We will now call it his death, burial, and resurrection. That is the summary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The summary of what was in the mouth of the prophet. Also, Jesus too will confirm the same which we saw yesterday. Paul will say what Jesus has said. That would be better put. Paul will now say what Jesus has said. In Luke 24, what we read, he said, ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and enter into his glory. He said, those were the words of the prophet. The suffering and the entry into his glory, which will now be the resurrection, as we said yesterday. Or the resurrection, which will not be his resurrection. His suffering will be his incarnation and his death. His entry into glory will not be the resurrection, which is what? The indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So,
when I saw, I wanted to say something that I'm not
is a sure one. So, what will happen? Genesis 1:2. Okay, we'll continue from there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Recall that we said the Old Testament scripture is called what? Mystery, right? We said that yesterday.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's called mystery. That is to say, it is the truth amongst the fact. It's the truth hidden amongst fact. The fact, we said yesterday, the fact is not the truth, but the truth is within the fact. We'll look at that in the second section. Hallelujah. Now, this is the major reason why Paul will not tell Timothy. Paul will not tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's what? Paul will not tell Timothy that you call him clever, call him wise in the way you understood what? This truth hidden amongst facts. Do you understand me? This truth. Hidden amongst fact. Now, a very vital question will now be, listen, a very vital question will now ask ourselves, should now be, how did Timothy learn, or how did he know this truth? Right? How was he able to read it through? Glory to God. How was he able to get to see it? Glory to God. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Okay. Chapter 3. Your sister. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Verse 15, for childhood, we've known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, Timothy's understanding, as we said earlier, of scripture was because of the fact that what he understood was salvation in the Old Testament, right? So he understood the truth among the facts. So we now said he would have known this truth. Let's look at verse 10. Or before we read verse 10, look at chapter 2, verse 2. This is before he got to chapter 3. He said, and these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, he said, the same commit toward faithful men who should be able to teach others also. This implies that Timothy learned from Paul. You understand? Timothy learned from Paul. Very important. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. He said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my teaching, hallelujah, my explanation, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Hallelujah. You followed my doctrine. You followed my teaching. Did you get that? So, in now, verses 15, you will now say you are wise. Why? Because he has carefully followed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, we now, because of that, we now say the role of the believer today in Bible interpretation. We spoke about the role of the believer, right? Now, the role of the believer today in Bible interpretation will be what? Studying and explaining what has been revealed or what has been explained in the epistles. What has been explained in the epistles. So the epistles will not be our guideline, will not be our explanation. Will not be our explanation for what the Old Testament or for the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Let's look at something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read yesterday, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3:10. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given me, Paul is speaking, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Let each one take heed on how he builds on it. For no foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ. Hallelujah. So he calls our role will be what? Building. Do you understand? We will build on the foundation. Hallelujah. And what is the foundation? The epistles.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So the foundational apostles have laid the foundation which they've explained the scriptures to us. Do you understand me? We have the explanations of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Which is the epistles. So we build on what we has been explained. We build on what has been explained to us. Hallelujah. We build on what has been explained to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the epistles are the explanations of the Old Testament writings to us. We build on it. And how do we build on it? By reading and explaining in the light of the epistles. Do you understand? So that's the building. We just stay in what has been laid for us. Glory to God. So our role is not to go and start the story saying that the stone that David picked is Jesus. Yes. You are suffering from trouble. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Spirit said, not every Goliath. No, don't read it that way. Hallelujah. And is it very important? The Bible interpretation, we said yesterday, you allowed where the epistles are loud. You are quiet where they are quiet. Hallelujah. Do you understand? And when they downplay, you downplay. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Now you have to be a good Bible student, just like Timothy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, how do we read Ephesians 3, verse 4? How do we read Ephesians 3, 4? Ephesians 3, 4, it says, verse 3, it says, by revelation, he made known to me the mystery, as I've written already, by which, when you read, you understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you look at the word, when you read, is the word that implies, or the word that implies anaginosko, read, anaginosko, hallelujah. It implies, anaginosko is the word that means or that implies thorough reading, hallelujah. Thorough reading. Is when one read as if it's preparing for a professional exam. He pays attention to the details. He understands the use of words and the background of the subject matter of discussion. You must understand this. Hallelujah. So, Bible study becomes intense. Hallelujah. It becomes intense. You begin to read, you read the details. You understand the details. You understand? You understand the details. You understand the background. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I will sing. So we understand the details. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Also, we looked at the fact that yesterday that the explanation of the scriptures is Christ. We've just seen that in Luke 24. Hallelujah. Christ preached. And since Christ is preached, we said salvation was available. Or the message of salvation was available. Hallelujah. The message of salvation was available. But was not possible. We'll look at that today. But was not possible. Salvation was available, but was not possible. And we'll see that. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the gospel was preached. And our role is to see how or to see those facts, those truths inside the fact by studying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So studying becomes important. studying becomes important, especially you when you study the Old Testament or these Old Testament scriptures. You must interpret it well, and to interpret well is to interpret it in the light of the epistles. In the light of the epistles,
hallelujah,
very important, because the epistles explain the scriptures to us. Jesus in Luke 24, the Bible says he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. He explained. That means the Old Testament scriptures need explanation. So that's why we say the word mystery is the word that implies a truth, or the truth hidden amongst facts that needs to be explained, that needs explanation. Hallelujah. And what would be the explanation? Christ preached. Hallelujah. And we say that Christ preached from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, 16. We saw that the gospel preached is the power of God to save men. Hallelujah. So therefore, when Christ now tells us in Mark 16, 15 to go preach the gospel, it is implying that the believer has in him the ability of God to save men. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we also said yesterday that the authority of Christ, the ability of Christ is exercised. The authority of Christ is exercised in the preaching of the gospel. So if you look at these things, we just said earlier on that salvation is available in the Old Testament, right? So we could now say that salvation in the Old Testament and salvation in the New Testament is on Christ, or is concerning Christ, or we say faith in the Old Testament, which we saw yesterday, and faith in the New Testament. If it is faith, it must be concerning Christ. Must be concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Once it is faith, it must be concerning Christ. So, if it is concerning Christ, I also said the Old Testament and the New Testament are there, which do not contradict themselves. Right? The New Testament, I'm about to say something, New Testament explains to us what the gospel is, or what the Old Testament is. And in the New Testament, we'll find the explanation of the gospel, right? Preached. Now, we cannot say. We look at how the gospel was preached and explained in the New Testament to know how it was ministered in the Old Testament. Do you understand? We look at it to know how it was ministered in the Old Testament. And that was the reason why we now looked at the facts of the gospel. We said the fact of the gospel, we looked at the fact of the gospel or the content of the gospel. We saw the incarnation, that God became a man. And we saw the resurrection is a fact of the gospel. Hallelujah. We also saw that the resurrection of Christ is the remission of sins. Let's look at Acts of Apostles chapter 2. So, what is supposed to be the response of? I want to say something now, very important. I just want to cite a quick, sharp difference between something. I'll take it off record. Let's sharp. Let's quickly get something. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts 2, 38. Now, Peter said, in Acts 2:38. We say that Peter said to them, "Repent, and let one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, say, for the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. In chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. He says, "Repent and therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Already, I've just told you what happened in chapter 10. He uses it to do. Now, let me explain that word repent. He uses the word repent and be converted in chapter 3. The word repent is the word metanoio. Metanoio. M-E-T-A-N-O-I-O. Metanoio. It implies to change your mind. It implies to change your mind. To turn around in your mind. Change your mind. Turn around in your mind. This is another word, converted, that is be converted, is epistrepho. It means to change your thinking. Change the way you think. Change the way you think. Remember, he's writing to the Jew, he's speaking to the Jewish people. Hallelujah. Why would he tell them this? Look at verse 17. He said, yet now, brethren, I know you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, and Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. We said that what Christ has suffered is will be a shorthand for what is death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. You understand? Now, he said he has thus fulfilled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, he now told them, therefore, repent. Did you see that? He said, repent, therefore, and be converted. Change. The change in your mindset. Change your thinking. Hallelujah. That's what it means. In chapter 2, he will call it repent and be baptized. You know, if you look at the way Peter, it will be the same way Jesus Christ called it. Let's look at what Jesus said first of all. Before we come back to what Peter said. Luke 24, verse 47. It says, and that repentance, that is remission of sin, will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Now he calls repentance. Jesus calls repentance the remission of sin. We're going somewhere. He called it the remission of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So repentance is the remission of sin. You cannot preach repentance outside the world. Look at that Acts 2 quickly. Now, this is Jesus' instruction to them that Luke documented. Look at Acts, chapter 2. Verse 38, he says, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Repent, that is, that word and is the one that means sky, that is. So Peter calls repentance, which is to change one's mind. He calls it to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Jesus.
So Peter would now give us what repentance means in the gospel. When church. Mark 16. Let's see the instruction of Jesus for Mark 16. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. The word there is he who believes, that is baptized, will be saved. He who believes, that is baptized, will be saved. He who does not believe, that is not baptized. Can you put that there? Will be condemned or will be condemned. Hallelujah. So Jesus calls in his instruction, he calls baptizing in the name, or to be baptized in the name of Jesus is to believe. Do you understand? Is to believe. And you know, that is what Peter will now say to Cornelius, who is a Gentile. So when Peter is telling it to the Jewish nation, those who physically crucified Christ or condemned him to die, you get a repent in your mind. That is, believe. Do you understand me? Because through this Jesus is preached to you repentance. Do you understand? Change your mind. That is belief. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Did you get that now? That is belief. So he will tell the Jewish nation, change your mind. And when he's telling them repent, metanoia, change your mind. He's telling them what? Believe. Hallelujah. Believe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he will not tell that to Cornelius, who is a Gentile, to tell him to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Believe. Let's see Paul in chapter 13, verse 12. Now, also, let's spot another difference. Chapter 13 and all of what Peter has said. Acts 13, verse 37 to 38. So, Paul will now give us the response of, or Paul tells us the response of, the response to the gospel when preached is to believe. Hallelujah. Is to believe. Glory to God. Is to believe. Hallelujah. And just as you said, to bring in the law, why teaching the gospel is to are adulterating the gospel? Because we are justified by faith. Believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay? Let's move ahead. So, in chapter 2, verse 44, I'll run through this because of time we went off record. Chapter 2, verse 44, those who believe are called believers. Do you understand? Chapter 2, verse 44, those who believe are called believers. Chapter 4, verse 4 of Acts. Chapter 4, verse 4 of Acts. After Peter was done preaching in chapter 4, verse 4, and I said, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So, man's response, our response to the gospel when preached is to believe. Not as what we spoke about just now, concerning the law and the gospel. As soon as we will talk about it, after we're done teaching on righteousness, we'll just look at that shortly. Do you understand? We'll look at it very well. Very important. So, chapter 5, verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14 of Acts. They were called believers that believed. In chapter 8, verse 37, the Ethiopian Enoch believed.
chapter 10, verse 43. We just read that. Cornelius, Peter telling Cornelius that the response, was to believe. His response was to believe. Chapter 13, verse 12. Paul teaching. Verse 12. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Hallelujah.
So he believed.
Hallelujah. Romans 1 verse 16.
It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe." So our response is to believe. Our response is to believe. Romans 1 16. Colossians 1 21. Colossians 1 21. He said, "Those that believe the gospel are called saved." They are saved. Ephesians 1, verse 13.
Ephesians 1, 13. We'll look at it in the third session. Ephesians 1, 13. He says, "In him you also trusted, after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise."
Do you understand?
Having believed.
Hallelujah.
So at the point of believing the gospel, you received the Spirit. At the point of believing the gospel, you received the Spirit.
That is,
we explained that yesterday. The same instance.
Hallelujah. Believing.
The same instance a man believes. So that actually debunks this altar call. Debunks it. Want to give your life to God? Once a man believes, do you understand me? Once a man believes only, yeah, look at Cornelius. Why the word was still spoken of by who?
By who?
By Peter. Right?
He believed.
And what? Started speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Do you understand me?
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So, our response when the gospel is preached,
our response when the gospel is preached is to believe.
Is to believe. Now, since this is what the epistles teach, is that what the epistles teach? We should believe, right? Now, since this is what the epistles teach, that means it is also obtainable that in the Old Testament, their response to the gospel what preached is what? To believe. Did you get that?
Hallelujah.
It's also obtainable. Because why? The epistles explains the Old Testament. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. The writer of Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 15. Why did he say, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as a rebellion." Do not harden your heart as a rebellion. The writer of Hebrews quoted this. Who was he referring to? What was in the picture? What was in the background? The wilderness, right? Moses, the Old Testament was in the background. He says, "Today, if you hear this voice, do not harden your heart in rebellion." In verse 5, 7, he said, "Therefore, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear this voice, do not harden your heart in rebellion as in the day of trial in the wilderness." So what was in front of them was what? Moses.
Hallelujah.
Verse 16. "For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry with? 40 years. Meaning, for 40 years. All the while they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Was called the days of provocation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was not, I mean, was it not those who sinned, those whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Hallelujah. When you talk about those whose corpses fell in the wilderness, you have to be careful with what he was referring to. Hallelujah. It's referring to those who did not believe the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And to whom did he swear that they will not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? That is what you would look at. Who did not obey? Meaning, all through the 40 years in the wilderness, all through Moses, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Do you understand me? The gospel was ministered all through, but yet they did not believe. That is what we are seeing from the scripture, right? But they did not believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, he's referring to those who did not believe. If you say everybody who died in the wilderness did not believe in God, so there you are wrong. Because Moses still died in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And Moses believed. So, he was referring to those who did not believe. Did you understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter because of what? Unbelief. Now, since faith is in the gospel, right? We said that faith is in the gospel. Unbelief too will be a response to what? The gospel. Did you see that? Faith in the Old Testament and the New Testament is a response to the gospel. Never in the scripture was faith used for physical or material things. I have faith that. It was used mostly 99% of the time for the response to the gospel in the Old Testament. Hallelujah, New Testament. Do you understand? And in the New Testament, the same thing. So unbelief will be a response to the gospel. Unbelief will be a response to the gospel also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering into the rest. Into his rest, rather. Let us fear, lest any of you seem to have fallen short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we who believe do enter that rest. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So maybe the gospel was preached to them, but the response, their response in the wilderness was unbelief. Hallelujah. Out of how many million people, it was only two, Caleb and Joshua. Hallelujah. They believed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No worries. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes to come. Hallelujah. We are taking things gradually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing them from the Spirit. So, why will they promise me to believe? See, we are going through everything that you see. Why is the promise? To believe. Amen. What did I just say? Why is the response to believe, rather? Why is the response believe? Romans 1, verse 1 to 2. Romans 1, verse 1 to 2. In verse 1, he calls it the gospel of God. In verse 2, he said, which were spoken, or which he promised, rather, which he promised. The word promise, through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the word promise is the word promise before they are together, through Epagilomar.
Now,
the pro is already before, which is ahead.
Now, the other word promise used is the word epagenia.
Epagenia. Now, take this. Epagenia implies one's pledge, one's committal, unrevocable pledge, one's unrevocable pledge to do something. One's unrevocable pledge to do something that doesn't require effort from another person or from another party. That does not require effort from another party other than to believe in what the person or in what the person had pledged.
Do you understand?
It doesn't require effort from any other party. Just all you require is just belief in what this person will do. Just simple. Hallelujah. So, epagenia. So, if the gospel is called a promise in the Old Testament, then they needed to believe.
Hallelujah. Did you understand that?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Today, it is fulfilled, right?
Amen. So, what do? We also believe.
Do you understand that?
Hallelujah.
In what Christ has done.
Glory to God.
So at salvation, what this just means, what I just said, and at salvation, the sacrifice, meaning everything that was done, man's effort was not needed.
Do you understand me?
Man's effort did not show. So meaning at salvation, the sacrifice is provided by God. Who is the sacrifice? Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the sacrifice is provided by God and offered by Him,
by God.
So, what is man's response? Just to believe.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I was talking to someone in the course of the week, and the person said, no, you don't understand sacrifice. You don't understand sacrifice. Said, what other sacrifice do you want to give? What other sacrifice?
There's just one. There's but one and only sacrifice. That's the sacrifice of Christ.
Hallelujah. So therefore, if I look at the Old Testament, and I see those sacrifices in Leviticus, what does that show me? Does man still have to do sacrifice? Why did Moses tell them to do sacrifice? We're going to see that shortly. Moses will ask them to do sacrifice. Number one, remember they rejected the gospel. Unbelief. Matthew 19, verse 8. The hardness, their hearts were hardened. Sclerocardia, unbelief. Right? Now, listen. Look at how Moses writes. Moses will tell you the word of God. Now, when you refuse or when you did not believe, what will Moses do? Moses will now give you, listen, a figure. He will now put it in a figure to show you what God will do.
Hallelujah.
So, the response of Moses to their rejecting the gospel of Christ's sacrifice, Moses now gave them work to do. So, that work that they are doing is to portray Christ's sacrifice. Hallelujah. What was the work? If you see, offer sacrifice. To show you this is how Christ's sacrifice would be for the sins of the world. Not man's response. Hallelujah. Remember, Abraham and his son, we discussed it in the teaching meeting on what? Righteousness, right? Concept of righteousness. We said, when Abraham carried his son to Mount Moriah, on their way, the son asks, where is the lamb, right? And he said, the Lord will provide. That is a statement of what? The gospel. That is a statement of what Christ would do. Hallelujah. God provides the lamb. Do you understand me? God provides the lamb. Hallelujah. So God provides the lamb. God offers the lamb. Where does he offer the lamb? In the heart of man. Hallelujah. Did you get that? He provides the lamb. He offers the lamb in the heart of man.
Glory to God. So, when they would take that lamb and offer it on the altar, what was it referring to? When they would take the lamb and take it to the holiest of holies, the blood, what was it referring to? The heart of man. So Moses would now prefigure Christ's work in symbols and ask them to do it. Since you've rebelled, okay, this is your condemnation, you have to eat. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Did you get that? So, since they also reject the gospel, listen, they will reject the gospel. They will reject the fact that the Holy Spirit will indwell them, what Christ will do. He will now say, okay, because you have rejected it, okay, you will now take. Now, that is what some of us are not calling Holy Communion. Holy Communion. Koinonia. So, you will not do it. Something that shows you Christ's work. Hallelujah. It shows you Christ's work. So, why they were doing it was to point to Christ's work. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Since they rejected the gospel, he will give them Sabbath to tell them in that day. Hallelujah. In that day. So, that Sabbath was to point, well, we'll look at that today too, was to point to what God would do in Christ. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you understand that? So, all those things, all the ceremonies, the signs, the wonders that they had to go through, the ceremonies, the cleansing, was to point to Christ's work. Did you see that? It points all to Christ's work. Glory to God. Because He's the one that provides the sacrifice. Hallelujah. He provides the sacrifice. God provides the sacrifice. He offered the sacrifice in our heart. Hallelujah. All you need to do is to believe. That is my response to the gospel. I believe the gospel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, very important as a roundup now. At salvation. Okay, sorry. The response, our response is belief, right? And when we believe, that instance, as we said yesterday, we receive the Spirit, which is what? Forgiveness of sin. Oh Lord, forgive my sin. This shows your unbelief. You are not different from them that offered sin sacrifice. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Now, Saturday, we'll look at something in the concept of righteousness. We'll look at, okay, since we'll look at the law. Since we'll look at the law, and we'll look at, okay, before the law, what was imputed? Hallelujah. We'll look at that. Glory to God. What does God take record of? Hallelujah. Did you get that? So, at salvation, very important. At salvation, we don't give our lives. We'll look at this critically. We don't give our lives. We don't give anything. We receive the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And because of salvation, at salvation we don't give our life, we receive. Because of salvation, we give our life to the work of the ministry. We'll see in the next 15 minutes. God bless you.